Are you struggling with kids fighting, yelling, and more despite listening to the podcast and reading all the books? Parenting can be so overwhelming and exhausting. You know, I see you and I have something that will help. Mindful Parenting SOS. I'm offering free live mindful parenting sessions starting Monday, May 6th. Basically, live mindful parenting lessons that you normally have to pay for. So if you struggle with getting your kids to listen, tantrums, misbehavior, and feeling the guilt of yelling at your kid, then you should definitely get your spot in Mindful Parenting SOS. I'll be there to answer your questions in person, and if you can't make it, we will have replays available. Don't wait to get your spot now. It's free. Go to mindfulmamamentor.com/SOS to register. That's mindfulmamamentor.com/SOS. I can't wait to see you there.
If you're putting somebody else first at the cost of your health and your well-being, then you're not going to be in a good place to be able to help them regardless. And that's what I was doing, right? I was putting everybody else first, but in the meantime, I'm depleting all of my energy and making myself literally sick. And so how well am I then able to help everybody else around me?
You're listening to the Mindful Mama Podcast, episode 194. Today, we're talking about how to recover from mom burnout with Nicole Lovald. Welcome to the Mindful Mama Podcast. Here, it's about becoming a less irritable, more joyful parent. At Mindful Mama, we know that you cannot give what you do not have. And when you have calm and peace within, then you can give it to your children. I'm your host, Hunter Clark Fields, Mindful Mama Mentor. I help smart, thoughtful parents stay calm so they can have strong, connected relationships with their children. I've been practicing mindfulness for over 20 years. I'm the creator of the Mindful Parenting membership, and I'm the author of the upcoming new book, Raising Good Humans, a mindful guide to breaking the cycle of reactive parenting and raising kind, confident kids. Welcome back, dear listener. Oh my gosh, I feel like I have been talking to so many people lately, and I'm so happy to be connecting with you, the Mindful Mama podcast listener, because you are my peeps. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for coming back, for listening, for all your kind words. They're amazing. They fill me up. And if you're new, a special welcome to you. I am so glad you're here, and this is going to be such an amazing episode. In just a moment, I'm going to be talking to Nicole Lovald. She was a former corporate busyness addict, and she turned into a yoga teacher and a life coach, and she advocates for self-care. And we're going to be talking about how to recover from mom burnout. And Nicole was a military spouse, and she was juggling a full-time job, a two-year-old, and this constant stress of dreading the word that her husband might be killed or injured. When things got even worse, the stress of her life started to have her hair falling out in clumps. And she turned this all around. And I know this story is going to be so inspiring for you. If you are feeling busy, if you are feeling overwhelmed, this is the episode for you. So I can't wait for you to hear. I want you to listen for about how our bodies really start to shut down if we live in constant stress, and how losing patience is a sign that you need to take care of yourself, and that it's, you know, noble to be of service to others, but sacrificing yourself, what you're giving won't be as meaningful. And this is really, really true. So before we dive in, I just want to give a shout out to my 200th episode is coming up really soon. Oh my gosh, 200 episodes. And I want you for this episode. I want to hear your story. I want to hear your story of maybe how the podcast sparked something in you, a thought or week, something simple or something more profound. I really would love to have your voice. I'm hoping to get some. I would really need some more voicemails. So will you please, please tell me the story of how, of an episode that you liked, a takeaway, something about the message that we're giving here that maybe sparked something in your life. So please, if you're listening before the 200th episode, if you're listening in the future, please disregard, go to mindfulmamapodcast.com, or I'm going to put a link in the, you know, in the show notes. So if you're listening on your phone, you can kind of click and look at the notes. You'll see a little link and you can leave a message right there and just tell me, what takeaways have you had from the Mindful Mama podcast? That would be so amazing. And one more quick message is that Raising Good Humans is available for pre-sale now. Yay! Woo, confetti. You can go to raisinggoodhumansbook.com and you can order the book there and get it on pre-sale. And then when you do, go back into raisinggoodhumansbook.com and you can get all these awesome good book bonuses. So right now I'm reading chapter one, so you're going to get the audio access to the first chapter. You're going to get this amazing masterclass that I have put together of experts that has been incredibly popular. So you're going to get access to that. And if you buy three or more copies, you're going to get a shout out right here on the Mindful Mama podcast. So cool. So I want to be able to shout you out and say thank you. So go buy some copies for, you know, new parents, for yourself, for anyone who wants to raise good humans. That's at raisinggoodhumansbook.com. And now on to this episode. Nicole, thanks so much for coming on the Mindful Mama podcast.
Thanks for having me, Hunter. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to talking to you too. And you're a yoga teacher and you coach people and all of these things, but I'm really curious about going kind of turning the timeline back and looking back. And you told me that you were a military spouse and you were kind of like, you call yourself like corporate junkie. So yeah. Tell me about that life. I'm a little curious about the military spouse life, because that's, you know, an experience a lot of listeners have, right? And a lot of people mm-hmm. in the audience have, and also that corporate junkie life for sure. So take us back a little to there.
Okay, absolutely. My husband served in the military for 25 years. So he was in the military for a really long time. I didn't know much about the military going into it because I live in Minnesota and we don't have a lot of military bases or installations here. So it was kind of an unknown. I got married pretty young. I was only 21 years old. I think that's, my mind, that's pretty darn young.
Yeah, and these days, very young.
Exactly. And so we got married and started traveling with the military. So I was kind of thrown into this brand new environment that I didn't know anything about, didn't have any, you know, friends or family members. And it's an interesting and very different lifestyle than what I was accustomed to. He had training missions that he would go on for 2 weeks at a time, sometimes a month at a time, where we'd have absolutely no connection to one another. So there, this was before, you know, a lot of the Instagram and Facebook and things like that. And so we didn't have a way to connect via social media. He didn't have a phone. So we weren't able to talk at all. So it was hard because he would literally take off, you know, for 2 weeks or a month at a time. And I'd be left alone in a brand new place, brand new location where I didn't know very many people. So that's kind of, that's the challenge or the hard part about the military lifestyle.
Now, when you were there in these different places, bases and things like that, and, you know, it's funny because I can relate to sort of, I have a good friend who her husband is a pilot. So he goes off and does, you know, but just commercial and jets and things like that. But that must have been incredibly lonely. Or were there other people there? Were there other spouses there to connect with and talk with? I mean, was it kind of like you're the, you know, the kid who's moved to a new town and you have to make friends at school? Like, yeah. Or was it just very, you know, was there a lot of solitude?
You know, it was really lonely at first. I'll never forget, and my husband will never forget this because I won't let him. on the 4th of July, this was many years ago, but on the 4th of July, we had only been in New York. We were living in upstate New York at the time, and we had only been there for a couple weeks. And he was sent off on a mission or sent off on some kind of training. And I sat in our new home by myself watching all of our friends and neighbors, you know, have their festivities. And so it was incredibly lonely. But then once you were able to kind of sink into the lifestyle and get to know other military families, then the community support was amazing. But there was always this transition time. There was always this period where it would take, you know, a few weeks, if not a few months, to start to get to know one another or to get to know the other military families. And so there was a lot of solitude and a lot of loneliness as a part of it. But then there also was this great camaraderie once you really kind of sunk in and got to meet people.
Parenting can be loud, stressful, and rough some days. And we want to be able to go to bed and take care of ourselves in a really beautiful way. And that's why I love that Cozy Earth is a sponsor of the podcast. Cozy Earth offers bedding products that will transform your sleep. The bedding is temperature regulating, which is like a huge sleep benefit, has superior softness, incredible fabric, and incredibly high quality. All the products come with a 10-year warranty. Truly, incorporating Cozy Earth products into your self-care routine can enhance your sleep quality and your overall wellness. You deserve to treat yourself to the ultimate in comfort and indulgence after all the day's craziness of parenting with Cozy Earth bedding and sleepwear. And it's a way to prioritize your self-care and sleep health. You deserve it. And here's an exclusive Mother's Day offer just for our listeners. Use the code MINDFUL35 for 35% off. That's awesome. At CozyEarth.com. That's coupon code MINDFUL35 for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. So my husband's had hair thinning issues for years, for a long time. It's not something he'd love to have. And he's done some things for it. But recently started using Nutrafol, and oh my gosh, we have actually seen quite a difference. Did you know that for women, hair thinning happens in approximately 1 in 2 women? And if you're among them, I want you to know that you're definitely not alone. It's normal, but it's not openly talked about, and going through it can feel lonely and frustrating. But you can join over 1 million people who are doing something about it with Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding, like my honey. Physician formulated with drug-free ingredients, Nutrafol supplements support healthy hair growth from within by targeting root causes of thinning, including stress, hormones, environment, nutrition, lifestyle, and metabolism as they evolve throughout a woman's life. And while many supplements rely solely on ingredient studies, Nutrafol clinically tests final formulations to ensure their efficacy. In a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after taking Nutrafol's women's hair growth supplement for 6 months. With Nutrafol, building a hair growth routine is simple. Purchase online, no prescription required, free shipping, and automated deliveries to ensure you'll never miss a day. See results in 3 to 6 months. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code MINDFULPARENTING. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code MINDFULPARENTING. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code MINDFULPARENTING.
How did you handle the solitude at the time? What did you do with that? Because I imagine, you know, you're like this 20-something-year-old woman. You're just, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was hard at the time. I didn't have a yoga practice. I didn't meditate like I do now and have some of the self-care practices that I think in retrospect would have helped me a lot. But I would go on, I remember going on long walks, and I started taking classes. I took a baking class for fun and a jewelry making class for fun, just different things to try to get myself out into the community. Because I knew that if I forced myself out of my solitude, if I forced myself to, you know, put myself in social situations, that I would meet people, and that there were probably a lot of other people like me who are looking for that, who are yearning for it. So it was just a matter of kind of making myself, you know, just get outside, go meet people, and it'll get better. It'll get easier. But it was hard. It was hard from, when we'd move to new locations, there's always that transitional period.
Yeah, I guess you can't really work. I mean, in that situation, like, how are you going to work for somewhere, you know, if you're there for 6 months or something like that? I mean, that's got to be incredibly hard for all military spouses. Like, you're going somewhere and you're just going.
It is, you know, and I had a lot of really random jobs, and I tried to look at it like it was a fun opportunity for me to try different and new things and just kind of explore. So I worked in coffee shops. I worked in malls. My most interesting job, I think, at the time was I led whitewater rafting tours for a short period of time.
That sounds fun.
So I tried to look at it like this is an opportunity, even though I had a college degree and I really wanted to work in more professional positions and work on my career. If I knew we were only going to be in a location for 6 months or less, I would just try to find a fun job, something that, you know, helped me get out in the community and meet people and something just to experience. But then sometimes in the military, you will be stationed in locations for a longer period of time. So we ended up traveling quite a bit, and only lived in one location for 3 years. That was our longest term. Mm-hmm. But for some families, they might be somewhere for 3 years, 5 years, even 10 years. So some military spouses are able to, and I was able to do this when we were in Texas for a longer period of time. You can start to work in positions that are more aligned with what you might be wanting to do professionally.
Yeah, I guess so. Huh. So this must be Q in corporate junkie. What is, how did you go from wandering military wife doing fun jobs and exploring and taking baking classes to corporate junkie?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. If I would have, or if anybody would have asked me when I was 20, 21 years old, you know, what are you going to do with your life? I never would have anticipated that I would have the positions and the jobs and the career that I have had over the years. But I just kind of let my circumstance help to guide me. And so what happened is when we were working or living in upstate New York, we were only there for a year, and I knew we were only going to be there for a year, but I really wanted to find a job in my profession. And at the time, that was working in nonprofits, working with at-risk kids. My degree was in sociology, and I was working on a master's in counseling. And so I started applying for jobs, but everybody knew, all the businesses around, all the corporations and companies around us, knew by looking at my resume that I was a military spouse. Because they could see that the jobs I'd had were in military locations and were for only 3 months, 6 months, things like that. And so I couldn't find a job. And so one day I walked into the education center on base, and in that education center, I just said, you know, I'm looking for a job. I'm working on my degree. Here's what I'm doing. And they said, we'll hire you. And so I started working in military education. I was helping. It was when online colleges were just kind of becoming popular. And so I was helping soldiers enter into their degree programs while they were deployed. So that was kind of my beginning of working in military education. And then when I moved back home to Minnesota, there's an online for-profit college called Capella University. And so it was a natural transition for me to work for them in their advising department. And so it might not sound that corporate necessarily because it's higher education, but it was working in a high-rise downtown Minneapolis with all the cubicles and the marketing department and the business departments. And so that was my avenue into learning about the corporate lifestyle and what it's like to, you know, be around another 300 to 500. I think when I left, there were about 500 other employees working towards one mission. And so that was, you know, it was a kind of a roundabout way, but that's how I started working in the corporate world.
I had a taste of corporate life when I was in college. I went to University of Delaware, and, you know, I was paying for college. Actually, I'm just finishing off paying for college. But and so I wanted to get Delaware residency. So I stayed in Delaware and worked for a year.
Okay.
And I ended up working in this like corporate environment. I was a temp, but I was like in this cube farm, and they kind of realized that, you know, I wasn't incredibly, you know, they gave me some jobs that were somewhat interesting, but I remember it was sort of this 6 months or less than that, where I was in this cube farm. And it was, for me personally, it felt like the most like horrible kind of work. I mean, I'm a self-employed person for a reason, because I just killed my soul to like sort of be without the fresh air and to have to, you know, just do this work that felt sort of mindless all the time. Interesting, you know, I have a feeling sort of the yoga is coming into it soon, but like the one sort of saving grace for me at that time was I would go for a run with like these old guys at the office. Yeah. So it was like me, like, I don't know, it was like 18 or 19 year old, you know, temp going for a run with all these like
8-year old guys. You had to go outside and get away.
I had to. It was like the only thing that helped me handle it. Did you feel at home? Did you like the work? Did you like I don't want you to feel bad if you like the environment that I've told you.
I
actually loved the work because after I was there for a while, they realized that they needed some support around building a military office. They really didn't have any support for their service members who were taking classes. And they had a lot of soldiers over in Afghanistan and Iraq who were taking classes, and they just didn't know what to do or how to help them. So I was able to kind of create my own job, which was really cool. Mm-hmm. So I built a military office from scratch or from the beginning, and was able to help people, which is one of the themes kind of throughout my life and my career. And that's what motivates me. So I love the work, but the environment was absolutely, I mean, I can put myself back in that space when you're talking and feel it like viscerally in my body, what it felt like. When I first started, I actually shared a table with another person. I didn't even have a full cubicle to my own. Like I was elbow to elbow with somebody else in their computer. And I remember feeling guilty if I got up to take a lunch break, or guilty if I had to go up and use the bathroom again. And just the heavy, I tend to feel a lot of energy around me and feel other people's energy. And so feeling just that heavy weight of the people that were coming into work all day, it just was too much for me. Even though I really did truly love the work, it was the environment that was just so stifling.
That's funny.
So no, I'm with you.
Yeah, you'd think they could like, you'd think like there could be just more attention to environment and making that an enjoyable experience. Like I really remember feeling like, I don't want to understand Dilbert, you know, the like cartoon. I was like, I had never understood Dilbert, and I was like, no, I don't want to understand Dilbert.
Yes. I don't blame you. I remember walking in at first too. Everything was gray. There were no colors. There were no, you know, it's just all gray, sea of gray cubicles in front of you. Gray, very depressing. Gray.
Yeah. So how does the yoga come in, Nicole?
Yeah. So the yoga actually came in when I was working in that cube farm. My husband deployed to Iraq. He deployed twice while we were married, once to Kosovo, and then the second time he deployed to Iraq, and that was the scary one. The first one was a peacekeeping mission. You know, he was still gone for a year, which is really hard, but the second one was frightening, right? I was scared that something was going to happen to him. He wasn't going to come home the same person, you know, all those things that you can imagine a person thinks about and goes through. And yet I was in Minnesota, in this environment where we didn't have a big community, the community or military community support that I was used to on these other installations. So I was really stressed, but I wasn't talking to anybody about it. I really wasn't letting anybody see it. I was trying to be, and I kind of had to be. I had our son at the time was 2 years old. And so I had to be strong for him. I had to be strong for my husband's family, or I felt like I had to be strong for them, right? Mm. And so the yoga comes in because I started going to the gym. That was my self-care at the time. And so I started taking my lunch breaks and going. There was a gym downstairs. And on a Friday afternoon one day, I thought, you know what, I'm going to try this yoga thing that everybody's talking about. And so I got into this yoga class. I'd done maybe some classes online or, you know, some videos, things like that, but I'd never been physically in a yoga class before. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget when I talk about this in my book a little bit, when I enrolled my yoga mat, you know, I was a little bit nervous and looking around and everybody's talking about work stuff. But at the end of the class, when we got into Shavasana, I felt like for the first time, I wasn't worrying. My mind just kind of shut off and I wasn't, you know, thinking about my son and how all the things we had to do at night when I got home. I wasn't thinking about my husband in Iraq. And I just had that moment of bliss, that moment that, you know, most of the people listening are probably yogis, so they know what we're talking about, but it's that, just that, okay, everything's all right. That moment of peace where I didn't have to think, I didn't have to worry. And it was beautiful. So that was my first experience.
This episode is sponsored by Candlewick Press, publisher of You Are Light, the latest title from children's book author and illustrator Aaron Becker. You open this book to find a graphic yellow sun surrounded by a halo of bright die-cut transparent circles. And then you hold the pages up to the light and enjoy the transformation as the colors in those circles glow. Aaron Becker follows as light reflects off the earth to warm our faces, draws up the sea to make rain, feeds all things that grow, and helps to create all the brilliant wonders of the world, including ourselves. You Are Light is about finding the light within each and every one of us. For kids, it gently introduces the concepts of colors, mindfulness, the environment, ecology, and the interconnectedness of our own lives with nature. For adults, You Are Light makes a perfect holiday gift that serves as a luminous remedy for any seasonal winter blues. You Are Light by Aaron Becker, available everywhere books are sold, and I highly, highly recommend it. It is a gorgeous book that I cannot wait to put in little hands this season. That's an incredible amount to be holding. To have a two-year-old in general, all parents of two-year-olds, like, that's just crazy making in general to just have a two-year-old. You know, forget having single parenting and single parenting with the fear that your partner could be blown up in any moment. That, and then your whole job as well. That's an enormous amount to be holding. I can't imagine. Your body must have had such a sense of relief to kind of move through those things that your body was holding, right? Your body's holding all of this, and to move all of that through your body, I can imagine that was an incredible bliss to just release for a moment.
Yeah. And you know, our bodies give us messages, right? And my body was telling me that I was under too much stress and that I was holding too much in by my hair falling out. Wow. So I didn't mention that, but I was losing weight, you know, as we do when we're under an immense amount of stress. And I can't lose weight when I'm trying ever, right? So for me to be losing weight like that, my hair started falling out in clumps. So my body was telling me, you're definitely holding too much. And I like to tell people that, yeah, I had the terrible twos all to myself. And then on top of it, I'm trying to send care packages to my husband, and he was a leader in the military. So I'm sending care packages to, you know, all the people that work for him and to his unit, because that's what we do when we care. And so, yeah, it was taking so much on and feeling like I needed to, you know, like save the world and then save my family and save myself all at the same time. And so my body's,
that's classic mommy martyr. You're like everything and everyone, and I can do, you know, all the things. I can do all the things. And your body's saying, no, no, you can't, Nicole, do all the things. Yep. Look, your hair is falling out now.
Yep. Let's take a break, Nicole. You can't do that. So then I started doing yoga weekly and got to the point where my friends would notice if I hadn't got my yoga class in, because they could tell I was so much more irritable. And so yoga started to, you know, have those effects on me, the calming effects that we know about. And so I just fell in love with it and started to feel better after going through the class. classes. I started to take better care of myself. I started to not be so much of a martyr. And then I dove right into when he came home a couple years later. It was a few years later. I dove into a teacher training program. And it wasn't because I wanted to become a yoga teacher. And the irony there is now I own a yoga studio. But I didn't necessarily want to be a teacher, but I wanted just to learn more about why does this make me feel so good? Why does this make me feel so much better? I wanted to dive into the philosophy and learn more about the background of yoga. So I just fell in love with the practice.
I want to hear a little more about the effects. So you went from, because you went from, you were losing weight, your hair was falling out in clumps, and you're doing, you know, for everyone to, you know, to having some calming effects, but describe that a little bit more. Describe the change a little bit more.
Sure. Yeah. So when my hair was falling out and, you know, I knew something was wrong, but I didn't have that wisdom. I didn't have the education yet to know why that was happening. So I immediately went to, you know, WebMD and Mayo Clinic and all the online resources I could to find out if I was dying, which I realized I wasn't. But, you know, immediately my brain went to, do I have cancer? You know, what's wrong with me? Something is really wrong. So I scheduled doctor's appointments and I hadn't clued my family. And of course, I'm still just taking this weight and this pressure all on myself. But I started going to clinics and doctor's appointments and asking them what's wrong with me. You know, we did all these blood tests and all these different things and everything kept coming back. Like, no, you're fine. Everything's okay. There's nothing wrong with you. And so after doing a lot more of my own research and starting to read about the nervous system and read about the impacts of stress, I started to connect the dots and figure out that really what was happening is my body was in fight, flight, or freeze all the time. Yeah. And that's that state where our bodies are in the sympathetic nervous system, right? Where our bodies are constantly fighting and thinking that we're needing to protect ourselves from injury. But for me, it was protecting myself from the worry that something bad was always going to happen. I mean, I was literally waiting for the men in uniform to show up knocking on my front door.
Oh.
You know, if the phone rang, I immediately was worried that it was going to be someone saying my husband had died. And I think that's the stress that military spouses don't talk about. It's that constantly being, you're just waiting, waiting for that phone call, waiting for that doorbell. And that puts so much pressure on you. So I just learned more about, you know, what stress does to our bodies. And so then I started to realize that the reason yoga is helping me is because it's getting me into my parasympathetic nervous system. Mm-hmm. It's because it's getting me back to my natural state where I should be all the time, but obviously I'm not.
That's the place where our body's immune system can function, right? Like, because the sympathetic nervous system literally like shuts down all immune system function because there's an immediate threat that your body has to take care of, right? This is what the nervous system is responding to. And our systems are designed so that, yes, so then our muscles tighten, our heartbeat raises. We don't give energy in the system to the immune system, to long-term health and things like that. It goes to immediate like muscle tensing so you can react to whatever threat is there. So if you're constantly in that, your immune system is really getting no energy, anything. And so, yeah, to put yourself back into the parasympathetic nervous system is to then to put your body back to give, you know, energy to back to your immune system to, you know, lower the blood pressure, loosen all the, a little of the tension and all of those things. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I would crash every day at the end of the day and not, you know, I wouldn't understand why am I so tired all the time. Well, it's because my body's been working so darn hard all day long. And so I had to kind of relearn. I had to relearn how to bring my body back into that natural state. And it didn't happen overnight. I mean, this was years certainly of work that it took to be able to, now I can understand or I can feel the stress symptoms as they're coming on. And I know when mama needs to go take a little break and meditate for a few minutes so that she doesn't explode on her kids or whatever it might be, right? Mm-hmm. But now I can recognize those signs in myself. But it did take a long time to really figure that out and to retrain my body to get back to that natural state.
Yeah, because your body was just reacting, never taking this step back to see, you know, to even be aware of what you're feeling or thinking or sensing, all of that stuff, like that's just not there. It's just, you know, constant, you know, react.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting. I think when we see people stressed out like that, or we know people are under an immense amount of pressure, you know, I would have people say, hey, I'll take your son for a day. Why don't you go get yourself a massage? Or why don't you go do this or that? And that's helpful, right? Like it's nice to have that time. And it helped me feel like I had network of, or people that want to support me. But it really, like, that's not the cure all. Just one day of, you know, or a couple hours of getting a massage or doing this or that is not going to, and it wasn't for me, just bringing you back into that place where you can heal your body and build your immune system. It really was a longer process of learning how to do those, you know, learning more about my body, learning more about the symptoms, and then just really, I keep saying retraining it, but it was this, you know, coming back over and over and over again until I finally felt like my body was more in that state of balance, where now when I have stress and I have things going on, challenges going on in my life, whether it's little things like the kids freaking out at Target because they want another Beanie Boo or whatever it might be, or major, you know, health scares or life, you know, crises, I feel like I can handle it so much better because now I'm not just reactive like I was when I was constantly in that sympathetic nervous system place.
Mm. I want to tell you about a great podcast that you should check out, especially if you ever deal with any school system, which you probably do. It's called Understood Explains. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Ortubé, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs. And this season of Understood Explains covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP and busts common myths about special education. So I checked out the episode on the difference between IEPs and 504 plans because my daughter Maggie uses a 504 plan, and it was really, really helpful. It went over all the differences, which one's better, how to get them, different myths and what your rights are, all kinds of different things that you should understand if your child may need extra help in education through an IEP or a 504 plan. The tone is super helpful, friendly, and smart. I highly recommend you check it out. To listen to Understood Explains, just search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's it. Understood Explains. As parents, we know that there are so many things in life that we have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there is no compromise. So don't go back to that doctor that doesn't really listen to you. Instead, check out ZocDoc. This is a place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, listen to you, and prioritize your health. And you can search by location, availability, and insurance. So literally, there's no compromises here, because with ZocDoc, you've got more options than you actually know about. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. Go to ZocDoc.com/mindful and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc, ZocDoc.com/mindful. ZocDoc.com/mindful. Yeah, I think there's so much here to learn from. And really, the, you know, that you keep saying, Nicole, you know, it wasn't a short process. It took time. It wasn't just a one-off thing that helped. It was something that was systemic. It was something that I had to incorporate into my life. It was something that I had to practice. You know, I had to, because those old habits that you had of just simply reacting and going and, you know, pushing through and just and ignoring all your body and the wisdom it has for you. Mm-hmm. Those are really strong habits. Is that curious about like your upbringing and your family? Were they of a similar, like, you know, just push on through kind of attitude?
Of course. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And the martyr, my mom was definitely a martyr, you know, taking everything on and trying to fix everything and take on other people's stress and worry and things like that. Absolutely. And I think, you know, when you're a military spouse, it's something I learned too at a very young age, is I didn't want to worry my husband's family. So I wouldn't say a whole lot, right? So I would just hold that in. I didn't want my family to worry about me. So I wouldn't say a whole lot. So it's taken a lot of time for me to realize that if they take that stress and pressure and whatever worry on themselves, they're making a choice, and that's, you know, them choosing to, but it's okay for me to share. It's therapeutic, and it's healthy for me to share when I'm going through challenging things. And, you know, vice versa, if somebody's sharing with me, I get to choose whether or not I fully take that on as my own, or if I'm just there being supportive and being helpful.
So what are, now I'm just kind of to play devil's advocate for the sure. listener who's saying, but it's good to be self-sacrificing. Like it's good to, it's noble. It's, you know, it's to be putting others first is sort of a noble act to do. What would you say to the person who's maybe having that kind of objection as they're listening?
Sure. If you're putting somebody else first at the cost of your health and your well-being, then you're not going to be in a good place to be able to help them regardless.
Yeah.
And that's what I was doing, right? I was putting everybody else first, but in the meantime, I'm depleting all of my energy and making myself literally sick. And so how well am I then able to help everybody else around me? So saying, you know, you have to take the oxygen first before you mm-hmm. give it to somebody else that we hear on the airplane every time we travel, every time we fly. But that's really true. You know, if we're not taking care of ourselves, we're not going to be in a place where we can have the energy to play with our kids, where we're going to be mentally in a good place to be able to handle their tantrums and their bedtime needs and, you know, all those things. And so I do think that it is noble and it is wonderful to be in a place of service to others. And I've built my career around doing that because it's so meaningful to me. But I've learned that when I sacrifice myself, whether it's in my work, you know, counseling and coaching and doing things like that, or yoga teaching too, or my family life or with my relationships with my friends, no matter what, if I'm depleting all of my energy and I'm not taking that time to take care of myself, I can try to be helpful and I can try to give, but it's not going to be as meaningful to either parties if I'm not coming from a healthy, well-balanced place, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Absolutely. Do you see in a difference in the way you were as a parent to your son and then later your daughter, sort of in the before and after picture?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I have so much more patience with them. And that doesn't mean, I mean, I certainly have the days and the moments where I lose my patience. But to me, that's always a trigger. That's a sign, or that's a symptom. That's a sign that, hey, you're not necessarily in a good place. What can you do to help to get back to that place so that you do have patience and you do have energy? But I found that I wasn't, you know, yelling at my kids as much, or hardly at all. You know, as they're having tantrums and their meltdowns and things like that, that kids do, I can almost separate myself from the situation now and just see it for what it is without having all of that emotional attachment. And so it's such a beautiful place to be able to be in, to kind of just witness the experience and not be so emotionally drawn in that you get reactive to the situation. And so, yeah, I feel like I'm a completely different mom after finding these practices. I'm definitely a better wife after finding these practices, and probably a better friend and neighbor and everything else. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because we experience every relationship, everything we do in our life through our minds, through our bodies. You know, if we are not taking care of our body mind, then when our body and mind is healthy then and peaceful, then it needs less attention, right? Ironically, right? It's like as you give it more attention, like you need the, you know, you don't have all these crises happening.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. So what do you recommend for the people who's maybe, you know, wants to bring yoga more into their life and wants to have a regular practice, but is having trouble because, you know, you might have small children, you might have a full job, things like that. How did you make that happen for you?
Yeah. You know, the best thing for me was when I went through my teacher training program, it was called Living Your Yoga. And so the premise or the mission of our teachers was to help us to understand that yoga is a living, breathing thing. It's not just an hour class that you go to where you maybe flow through vinyasas and things. It's really a practice that you can use throughout your life. And so it's not just the physical aspect. And so for me, understanding that it's not just the physicality of the practice, it's really where can you be more mindful? Where can you use your breath throughout your day when you recognize that you're getting kind of worked up? For me, sometimes my practice was literally coming home and just getting down on my mat in a child's pose while my kids climbed and played on me. But that was my practice. I was, you know, being playful with them, but I was also taking some time just to tune into my body. And still to this day, sometimes I get on my mat and I might have an idea that I'm going to do a, you know, a half an hour physical practice and my kids come and they want to play. And I realize it might serve me to just be playful and be with them and have some fun versus, you know, having this set practice. And so I think the best thing for me was really understanding that yoga is so fluid and you can use it throughout your days in whatever way makes the most sense. A yoga practice can be getting up away from your desk and, you know, going outside and walking for 10 minutes. That could be your meditation or your yoga practice. And so that's how I try to look at it. And that's when I'm working with busy moms, parents, you know, people who we have so many things going on, so many pressures these days. Just setting your phone off in a different room for an hour could be your yoga practice. But I just went on a tangent. So what I was trying to say is that, you know, really any way that you can find ways to nurture your mind, body, and spirit is yoga. Yeah. And so it's just figuring out what works for you. So like Hunter, what does your yoga practice look for you on a daily basis?
Well, I get up and I put my feet on the ground and I say thank you in my mind to the universe. And then my yoga practice is very simple these days. I mean, I do go to a class once in a while and I do a bigger practice once in a while, but on a daily basis, it's very simple. I do child's pose on the ground. I don't pull out a mat for this. I just do child's pose on the ground and then I do cat and cow to wake up my spine. I do a twist. Mm-hmm. I do, you know, kind of like sometimes what I like to refer to as rolling around on the ground yoga, which is like can be really great. You know, you're on your back and pulling your knees in and just doing those twists and a little bridge maybe, but just basically bringing, you know, waking up the body in the different ranges of motion. And it may take 5 or 10 minutes, like very short. And I do that before I do my sitting meditation. But that's what my consistent daily practice really looks like right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And my practice is similar to that where I get on my, I actually do roll out a mat, but I get on my mat every day and do the physical practice. But I think the part that, I like to talk about because I think a lot of people aren't aware of it is that we can bring the yoga practice into, you know, almost each and every moment of our day. Yeah. And it doesn't have to look like that physical practice. So if you don't get on your mat, you know, on a daily basis. Don't beat yourself up. Instead, figure out, okay, what is it that I need today? Maybe today you do need that physical practice, but maybe you just need to breathe more deeply.
Yeah. How can you stop the doing and just be for a moment? Like whatever that being is, right? And sometimes I think of like the physical asanas as a way of like us doers to kind of move into being, because it's this mindful movement, right? So it's just a way of being really being present with movement in some ways. And then as we become more comfortable with that, then we can be in some ways more present with, you know, for me anyway, that was the path it took, is that it went from movement, from running to into yoga, and then into just sitting still.
Yeah.
So take that pathway, you know, whatever your body is needing right now. If it's needing more movement, if it's needing walking, if it's needing running or a physical practice, but the idea is to just really practice to stop, to bring the mind into presence with the body, to be attentive to what is the body feeling, to notice what the sensations feel like, to be able to sit with the discomfort, to be able to sit with the beautiful things, and what allows us to really feel that bliss at the Shavasana that you described really beautifully is that you are, you know, the present with all the rest all the way through up until that point, right? And so your mind had been practicing being present. So then when you were there in the Shavasana and it felt so good, you weren't just thinking about what to, you know, what to make for dinner later. You were actually noticing how the intensity of good sensation and what that felt like.
Exactly. And I do have some resources and some guided meditations and practices in my book, Om Sweet Om, A Corporate Junkie's Search for Enlightenment. So if anyone's listening and they're looking for some ideas on, okay, how do I breathe? I don't know how to breathe in the right way or in the way that's going to calm my body. I don't know how to move my body in a way that might feel good. So certainly I want to mention that to your listeners so that they know that that's a resource as well.
Absolutely. It's been beautiful to talk to you, Nicole. Where can people find out more about you and your book?
Yeah, absolutely. You can find out about me and the courses that I offer in my book on my website. It's Nicole, N-I-C-O-L-E, Lovald, L-O-V as in Victor, A-L-D as in dog, NicoleLovald.com. And then my book is available as well on Amazon and also on BarnesandNoble.com.
That's cool. And we will, of course, put a link up at the Mindful Mama podcast page for this episode. Nicole, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your story. I know that so many will relate to this. This is the story of our lives, right? That we just, there's so much doing and so much giving in so many ways. And then to realize that you really had to give to yourself, and then you're able to give in such a bigger way. It's really beautiful. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing it.
Thank you, Hunter. And it's been so much fun getting to know you a little bit better and getting to know your audience too. So I appreciate you having me.
Thank you so much for listening. Isn't Nicole's story so inspiring? Ah, yes, yes. This is a message we need sometimes again and again, and that's okay. We just take those small steps forward. Absolutely. So listen, before you go, if this episode inspired you, please go to mindfulmamapodcast.com. There's a link right where you listen to the podcast on your phone, and leave me a voicemail about what you're taking away. And in general, if the podcast has inspired you, it would be so great. I want your feedback for the 200th episode. Please, please, please. It would do me a solid, please. And of course, remember that Raising Good Humans is available for pre-sale. So go to raisinggoodhumansbook.com. You can find, you can order it there from IndieBound or Barnes & Noble or Amazon. And then you can get these awesome book bonuses, including if you buy 3 or more copies, a shout out here on the podcast. So I would love to give you a shout out. Please do that. So
too big ask today. Give me your feedback. 200th episode is coming up right at mindfulmamapodcast.com, and then go ahead over to the raisinggoodhumansbook.com and get the book. Yes, 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 yes. If this podcast has offered you value at all over the last number of listens, I know this book is going to offer you more, and it's also a great way to support the podcast. So pre-order the book now. I'm wishing you a beautiful week. I hope you wish you peace and joy and all of those wonderful things. And I will see you next week right here. Namaste.
Are you overwhelmed by the things that get in the way of you doing what you want to do? Are you looking for ways to simplify life to better align with your values? Do you want to create space in your schedule so you have room for more of the good stuff? Play, joy, relationships, gratitude, and more? If you answered yes to any of these questions, I invite you to check out Edit Your Life, a podcast to help you edit the unnecessary from your life so you have more room to enjoy the awesome. Through episodes with me, Christine Coe, and a range of super smart, compassionate, and thoughtful guests, you'll come away with big picture insights and practical ways to declutter your home, schedule, and mental space without getting bogged down by perfection. I have always believed that small moments and actions matter tremendously. My goal is to help you find agency and space in your life through doable baby steps that will leave you feeling accomplished instead of overwhelmed. Check out Edit Your Life wherever you enjoy your podcasts.